Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, September 17th, 2020. Education. MISD enrollment drops by nearly 1,000, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD student membership enrollment declined by about 3.6% year over year, according to statistics from the school district and Reporter Telegram archives. And nowhere was the decline felt more than at the elementary schools. The district provided data from Wednesday showing a student membership of 25,417. The total from mid-September of 2019 was 26,383. MISD's student enrollment for 2018 to 2019 was 26,183, according to the Texas Education Agency. In 2017 to 18, the enrollment reported to the TEA was 25,716. MISD's decline this school year is consistent with what is taking place in Odessa, where Ector County ISD reported Tuesday night that enrollment numbers are below the projection of about 34,000 and are closer to 32,000. The Dallas Morning News, in a story this week, reported that Dallas ISD is showing nearly 15,000 fewer students than its original projections for the 2020-21 school year. Midland ISD campus by campus enrollment numbers showed little change in student membership at the secondary level, junior high through high school. At the elementary schools, Midland ISD showed 10 campuses, around one-third, reporting a decline of 10% or more in student membership. Burnett Elementary showed 20.4% fewer students. DeSalva was second at 16.4%, and Washington STEM was third at 15.5%. Parker, 14.3%. Henderson, 13.4%, and Santa Rita, 13.1%, rounded out the top six. Statistics also showed two elementary campuses with at least a 10% increase in student population. Idea Travis at 14.6%, and Franks Elementary at 11.7%. Katie Adkins, Midland ISD's Chief of Staff, said Wednesday that addressing the declining student population will be part of the district's annual recovery walk, in which district officials attempt to see if there are students who need assistance and can return to the Midland ISD student population. Adkins also said that Midland ISD's partnerships didn't impact the student population count. Out-of-district operators involved in partnerships include IDEA Public School, IDEA Travis Academy, Young Women's Preparatory Network, Young Women's Leadership Academy, and Third Future School's Sam Houston Collegiate Preparatory Academy. Only Sam Houston had a smaller year-over-year student membership. As the Morning News reported this week, student membership matters because state funding is largely tied to average daily attendance. Fewer students who make up the average daily attendance means a decrease in state funding. Atkins said this year's budget actually factored in fewer students year over year. However, that anticipated drop was not larger than 3%. The Morning News also reported that funding won't be affected immediately. The Texas Education Agency is allowing districts to receive funding based on projections from the previous 3 years for the first 12 weeks of the 2020-21 school year, a similar hold harmless strategy that the state employed to calculate attendance during Hurricane Harvey, according to the newspaper. Coming Friday, MISD's recovery walk to target students not returning to campus. MISD, Committee to Hold Last Vote on Lehigh Name, by Stuart Doreen. Midlanders should have more information this evening about what the new name of Robert E. Lee High School could be. The Citizens Renaming Committee will meet to consider its top three names and the order they will be presented to the MISD School Board in October. Those names are Legacy of Equality and Excellence, LEE, Tall City High School, and Midland Carver Lee High School. Last week, the 23-member panel reduced its list from five to three. Lee and Tall City tied for the most votes with 9 each. There were 5 other votes cast, including 2 for Midland Carver Lee and 2 for Midland Lee High School. It is not guaranteed that trustees will go with the top selection of the group when they decide on the order of names for the senior and freshman high schools. It is expected that after determining the order of the top 3 names, the committee will then address issues such as a potential new mascot. The committee is composed of 2 representatives from each school board district, 2 students whose names have not been released, a principal, 2 teachers, and 2 at-large members. The committee is chaired by Blake Felt, Executive Director of Athletics, and Shanna Lowe, a current Lee parent. The board appointed Josh Sperry and Mary Dell Fryer as the at-large members. The principal is Jennifer Sabert of Young Women Leadership Academy. The teachers are Bo Garza and Ellen Boyd. The trustee appointments are Shirley Howard and John Norman from District 1. Alfred Sanchez III and Stacy Martinez from District 2. Frank Maldonado and Ashley Boren from District 3. Rachel Stone and Steve Subia from District 4. Todd Brown and Valerie Tinker from District 5, Noble Kendrick and Monica Stroman Tucker from District 6, and Roderick Stramler and Sarah Hale from District 7. During the Lee naming saga, opinion pieces from prominent alumni were published. There have been petitions from both sides, rallies to keep the name, elected leaders outside of school government weighing in on the issue, and social media conversation across the community, such as few Midlanders have experienced in recent memory. Politics. Conway calls for release of Granberry Man in Russian prison by Caitlin Randall. U.S. Republic Mike Conway on Wednesday said he would introduce a resolution to the House floor calling for the immediate release of Trevor Reed, a Granberry man who was sentenced to 9 years in a Russian labor camp earlier this summer. Conway's remarks came during a press conference live-streamed from the U.S. Capitol with Republican Michael McCaul and Reed's mother. Reed was charged with assaulting and endangering the lives of two Russian police officers in August 2019 while spending the summer with his Russian girlfriend. Conway called the arrest and sentence politically motivated and said Reed, a former U.S. Marine, was being used as a bargaining chip in Russia's effort to free convicted arms dealers. The fact that he's been being held simply because he was a U.S. Marine and an embassy Marine at that is a tragedy of justice and should not prevail, he said. And we're now demanding from Congress for his immediate release. 21 U.S. representatives from Texas, including Conway and McCaul, joined the resolution calling on the federal government to act on Reed's behalf, according to a press release from the House Republican Foreign Affairs Committee. Reed was arrested after allegedly becoming drunk and disorderly during a party, according to news reports. The arresting officers testified that during the trip to the police station, Reed grabbed the driver's arm, causing the car to swerve into the opposite lane. However, news reports note that CCTV footage presented during the trial did not show the police car swerving, and the prosecution provided little evidence to support the charges against Reed. Reed's mother, Paula Reed, said Wednesday marked the 396th day her son has been held in a Russian prison. And it's been 395 sleepless nights for me, praying that the phone doesn't ring in the middle of the night with news that something terrible has happened to him while he's been in custody, she said. Reed traveled to Russia in May 2019 to visit his girlfriend and study Russian to fulfill the requirements for his college degree. Paula Reed said she said he had been receiving straight A's and saving money to purchase a house. We have no part in the dispute between the United States and Russia, she said. I badly need my son Trevor to be back home in Texas so he can continue on with his life. Centennial Park's progress. The caption reads above. More than 150 trees with 11 different specimens, as well as multiple original trees that were kept in the park, surround the park as work continues Tuesday around the rebuilt Centennial Plaza. Right, one of the play areas. Centennial Park, where? Downtown west of Bush Convention Center. Address, 200 West Wall Street. Size, 4 acres. Opening, estimated substantial completion is fall 2020. Mission, to provide a premier green space and gathering place in downtown Midland. Enrich the quality of place for residents and visitors. And act as a catalyst for social and economic growth. Main features: the Mesa, Children's Nature Play, Dog Park, Splash Pad, The Grove and North and South Promenades, Stage Pavilion, and Great Lawn. How was it funded? The funds to build the park were raised before and during the construction of the park. Donations included support from the City of Midland, the Downtown Midland Management District, DMMD, and several private donations, which include both local companies and individuals. Fundraising efforts will continue for the operations, maintenance, and the development of an endowment fund. Source: the Centennial Park, Midland.org. MCT to stage classic To Kill a Mockingbird. Midland Community Theater returns with its production of To Kill a Mockingbird, about an Alabama attorney who defends a black man falsely accused of sexually assaulting a white woman and his children who witness the horrors of racism. The play opens Friday and continues through October 4th. Coronavirus restrictions prohibit a typical stage production, said Audrey Palmer, development director. Therefore, the play will be staged in a reader's theater format. The cast will be in costume and will be seating during the show, which has been shortened to 90 minutes, without intermission. To Kill a Mockingbird is for members only because of decreased seating capacity. But if tickets become available for the general public, a notice will be posted on MCT's Facebook page, she said. Cast members: Atticus Finch, David Thomas, Jean Lewis Scalpfish, Pauline Author, Jeremy Jim Finch, Nicholas Ramsey, Charles Baker, Deal Harris, Jude Hunt, Capernia Kayla Sims Cockrench, Sheriff Heck Tate, Nicholas McRae, Maudie Atkinson, Laura Bond, Stephanie Crawford, Mijah Johnson, Mrs. Dubose, Cindy Leofler, Mr. Cunningham, Craig Leofler, Bob Elwell, Kevin Leofler, Mayella Elwin, Delaney Beadle, Judge Taylor, Jeff McDonald, Mr. Gilmer, Frankie Flores, Count Clerk, Aaron Thompson, Reverend Skylus Courtney Ratliff, Tom Robinson, Dreyfus Andrews, Nathan Boo Radley, Matt Scott, Townsperson Luke Russell. Photos of the actors seated saying their lines. Judge Taylor, played by Jeff McDonald. Dress rehearsal for Midland Community Theater's upcoming production, To Kill a Mockingbird, is shown Tuesday. Because of COVID-19 restrictions, the performance is presented in reader's theater format with the characters in costume and reading from a seated position. Other captions are Atticus Finch, played by David Thompson, Jean Lewis Scout Finch, played by Pauline Arthur, Jeremy Jim Finch, played by Nicholas Ramsey, Sheriff Heck Tate, played by Nicholas McRae, Charles Baker Deal Harris, played by Jude Hunt, Tom Robinson, played by Dreyfus Andrews. Calpurnia, played by Kaylee Sims Cochran. Mr. Cunningham, played by Craig Leofler. Reverend Skies, played by Courtney Ratliff.
Local. Disinfecting WNPAC. Employees of Zuno work at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center to prepare the venue for reopening. Zuno, which specializes in antimicrobial protection, spent September 10 sanitizing the facility. Constitution Day. Today is Constitution Day and Citizenship Day, which commemorates the formation and signing of the Constitution of the United States on September 17, 1787. It is dedicated to all U.S. citizens. Source, timeanddate.com. Midland Odessa receive CARES Act funds. Midland and Odessa received more than $2 million in another round of federal grants to help recover from the economic fallout of the pandemic, U.S. Senator John Cornyn announced Tuesday. Midland received $1,441,115 and Odessa received $908,413, according to a press release from Cornyn's office. The funding, which was appropriated by Congress in March, comes through the Department of Housing and Urban Development as part of the CARES Act. Victory Run to benefit Gifts of Hope. The 14th annual Victory Run and Walk, hosted by the Midland Rockhounds for the benefit of Gifts of Hope, is Saturday at Momentum Ballpark. A 1K fun run will begin at 7:45 a.m., the 5K will begin at 8 a.m., and the 10K will begin at 8:10 a.m. There also will be a stroller category for the races. Prizes will be awarded to the top 3 male and top 3 female runners and first responders who participate. Participants can register as individuals or as a team. For more information or to register, go to MidlandRockhounds.org. Gifts of Hope is a nonprofit that provides services to Permian Basin cancer patients. Salvation Army to sign up angels. Salvation Army of Midland soon will be signing up children 12 and younger for the annual Angel Tree. Parents or legal guardians would need to provide valid ID, children's birth certificates, and proof of income. Sign-ups will be 9 a.m. to noon and 1 to 4 p.m. October 5 through 16 at 600 East Wall Street. For more information, call 683-3614. Firefighters doing virtual fill the boot. The International Association of Firefighters and Professional Firefighters Association of Midland, Local 4405, are doing a virtual Fill the Boot, which will take the place of the annual in-person campaign for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Instead of placing donations in boots held up by Midland firefighters at intersections across Midland, residents can donate at filltheboot.donordrive.com/participant/Midland. The virtual campaign continues through the end of the year, said Greg Wells with Midland Local 4405. Their goal is $5,000, according to the website. When it's open, Midland County Public Library, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. Curbside pickup at Downtown Branch, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. City watering schedule. The City of Midland has adjusted the watering schedule from 2 days a week to 4 days a week. Even-numbered addresses can water on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Odd-numbered addresses can water on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. The Utilities Department says residents should not overwater the lawn and should watch for puddles or runoff from sprinklers. Today, Midland history. In 2017, the Midland Rockhounds became the first Texas League team in 92 years to win 4 consecutive Texas League titles with a 1-0 victory over the Tulsa Drillers in the deciding Game 5 of the Texas League Championship Series. Today in history. Today's Thursday, September 17, the 261st day of 2020. There are 105 days left in the year. In 1787, the Constitution of the United States was completed and signed by a majority of delegates attending the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. Today's birthdays: Basketball Hall of Fame coach Phil Jackson is 75. Muppeteer Kevin Clash, Elmo, is 60.
COVID-related deaths in Midland County increased to 10 in September. By staff. The City of Midland reported a second straight day with a coronavirus-related death, raising the number of deaths to 10 this month and 79 during the pandemic. The patient, a woman in her 70s, was being treated at Midland Medical Lodge. She died Wednesday. The city reports she had underlying health conditions. The Midland Health Department also reported that another 17 new cases were reported Wednesday. Those cases bring the total number this week to 71, which was more than the total through Wednesday of last week, 59. Wednesday's new cases are reflective of lab results from Tuesday, the city reported. The health department also reported 1,091 active cases, 5 more than Tuesday, and 2,143 recoveries, an increase of 12. Cases: Monday, 28, Tuesday, 26, Wednesday, 17, total this week, 71, total through Wednesday of last week, 59, total through September 2nd, 83, cases this month, 240, cases during the pandemic, 3,512. Our view: leaders need to be vocal about what Permian has to offer. By Stuart Doreen. Thank you, Don Evans, for reminding us of the importance of the Permian Basin. With coronavirus and falling oil prices have wrecked the economy in 2020, it is easy to feel down about what is happening in Midland. But as you pointed out, being bearish in the long term just doesn't make sense ultimately and will cause us to miss an opportunity. Last week, as oil editor Mella McEwen reported, the Permian Strategic Partnership issued a report qualifying those opportunities, finding that the Permian Basin contains more than 92 billion barrels of oil in proven reserves and enough natural gas to meet the nation's household needs for 60 years. It's an incredible story that I think goes untold, Evans told the Reporter Telegram. Few people understand the role we play in economic security, energy security, and in the national security of the United States. It is a story all Americans need to hear. As Evans said, it is the Permian that is responsible for falling oil and natural gas prices that is like a tax cut for Americans. It is the Permian that is putting billions of dollars into state government coffers. In our view, it is the Permian that is responsible for the Texas miracle. And with the oil and gas that remain, Permian Basin leaders need to be vocal about what the Permian has left to offer. We need those state and federal dollars for transportation and other infrastructure. We need our leaders to be unified that, just like the companies inside the Permian Basin were responsible for the production of 5 million barrels a day, Midland's best days are still in front of us. The future has never been brighter, and all credit goes to the industry and the citizens of the Permian Basin. The patriotic spirit, the hardworking spirit of the Permian Basin makes it possible, Evans said. This newspaper will continue to make room for those in the community who are willing to provide perspective on what they expect. Because while we all see reports about what's coming in 2020 and beyond, it will be the energy leaders in our community who we trust more than any other. Obituaries. Floyd Colleen Riggins Todd. Floyd Colleen Riggins Todd was 76, passed away in Midland, Texas on September 13, 2020. Colleen was born to Ivan and Virgie Tucker Riggins in Seymour, Texas on April 23, 1944. Colleen married Joyce Ray Todd on November 24, 1967 in Stanton, Texas. Colleen kept a great attitude after she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in 2017. She continued to do what she loved, knowing when God was ready for her, He would call her home. Until then, she would continue her normal life, spending time with family and friends, doing all the things she loved to do. Survived by son Kevin Todd and wife Tanya of Monahans, daughter Karen LeBlanc and husband Ray of Midland, brother James Riggins and wife Martha of Hobbs, New Mexico, brother-in-law John T. Witt of Monahans, 6 grandsons, 1 granddaughter, several great-grandchildren, many nieces, nephews, and cousins. Colleen was preceded in death by her parents, husband Ray Todd, sisters Virginia Gray, Aubrey McClure, Janelle Pettigo of Big Spring, Texas, Zula Chapel of Cozy, Texas, Lucille Dooley of Belton, Texas, Barbara Inlow of Seminole, Texas, Betty Witt of Monahans, Texas, and brother Ben Riggins of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Visitation will be on Thursday, September 17, 2020, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, 3800 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas. Funeral services will be at Kelview Height Baptist Church, 402 West Scarborough Drive, Midland, Texas, on Friday, September 18, 2020 at 11 a.m. with graveside services to follow at 3 p.m. at Mount Olive Cemetery, 1700 Texas 350, Big Spring, Texas. Memorial donations can be made to Kelview Heights Baptist Church or to the Ragtown Gospel Theater. Post Office Box 222, Post, Texas, 79356. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com. Hazel Marie Turney. Marie passed away peacefully of natural causes in her home on September 13, 2020. Marie, a truly wonderful Christian, was loved, surrounded, and comforted while being attended to by her family during her passing. Marie has now departed her earthly home to be with the Lord. Hazel Marie Turney, 99, years old, was born in Cross Plains, Callahan County, Texas, on March 17, 1921. She was the fourth of 9 children born to Mortal Guys Schultz and Emma Etta Fuller. Marie was preceded in death by all of her siblings. Marie married Frank Toby Turner on April 17, 1943, in La Mesa, Texas, and they were happily married for 73 years when Toby passed away in April of 2016. Marie and Toby have two children, Frank Dwayne Turney, spouse Elaine, living in Newport Beach, California, and Hazel Dolores Ezel, living in Midland. She has 5 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, and 10 great-great-grandchildren. Family and friend visitation will be at Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home on Friday, September 18, 2020, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Funeral services will be held at Bellevue Baptist Church at 10 a.m., Saturday, September 19, 2020, followed by burial at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Marie dedicated her life to Christ at an early age and has been a devout Christian throughout her entire life. Marie had been an active participating member at Bellevue Baptist Church for many, many years. The family requests donations in lieu of flowers made to Bellevue Baptist Church at 1710 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79701. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelsh.com. Sabrina LaShane Holiday Cleveland. Sunrise, April 16, 1970. Sunset, September 9, 2020. A Time to Be Born. On the lovely day of April 16, 1970, a sweet baby girl, Sabrina LaShane Holiday, was born in Albany, Georgia, to Barbara Ballum and Anthony Holiday. A Time to Plant. She was united in matrimony to Mr. Willie D. Cleveland. She was the mother of 3 children, Kenesha B. Holiday, Jasmine L. Holiday, and Kenneth W. Carr, Jr., K.C. A Time to Rest. Sabrina entered into the eternal rest on September 9, 2020, in Midland, Texas. A Time to Be Remembered. Sabrina Brianna leaves to cherish her memory 3 sisters, Daphne Green of Albany, Georgia, Carolyn Christopher Cooper, and Tarsha Carlos Holiday Benefield of Atlanta, Georgia. 5 brothers, Dexter Jennifer Green of America, Georgia, Edward Green and James Green of Albany, Georgia, Antonio Holiday Jr., Napoleon Holiday, and Emmanuel Jimerson of Tilton, Georgia. 2 grandchildren, and a host of aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, and other relatives, along with countless friends. Celebration of Life will be held on Saturday, September 19, 2020 at 1 p.m. at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, 2101 Charlton Street, Midland, Texas, 79707. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.mpwelsh.com. Jimmy Wiley, Buffalo Hayes. Jimmy Wiley, a.k.a. Buffalo Hayes, 65 of Midland, passed away on September 9, 2020. Services were 11 a.m. Wednesday, September 16, 2020, at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery, Midland, Texas. Jimmy was born on September 20, 1954, in Seminole, Texas, to Wilbur and Rela Hayes. He began school in Denver City, Texas, attended school in Andrews, and graduated from Borden County High School in 1973. He worked in Odessa, Shreveport, Louisiana, Brownwood, Lubbock, and Midland. He loved to hunt and could hardly wait for deer season. He liked to cook and grill outside. Jimmy is survived by sisters Janet Hayes, Rita Hayes, and Mary Hayes of Midland, and Jane Ann Mueller and husband Ray of Littlefield, brother Wilbur Hayes and wife Georgia of Odessa, nephews and numerous cousins. Jimmy is preceded in death by his parents, Wilbur and Rilla Hayes and Michael J. Mueller. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welch, Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com. Death notices. Barbara Lloyd. Barbara Lloyd, 88, of Midland, passed away September 16, 2020. Survivors include son Terry Lloyd. Service is pending with Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Danny Wilbur Bisbee. Danny Wilbur Bisbee was born on July 16, 1948, in Baird, Texas, to Ira Webb Bisbee and Betty Sharp Bisbee. He moved to Midland in 1952, where he remained until his death on September 4, 2020, at the age of 72. Danny graduated from Lee High School in 1966. He met the love of his life, Linda Klinger, in 1968 and married her in January of 1969. Just a few short months after they married, he was sent to Vietnam, where he proudly served in the United States Army. Danny is preceded in death by his father, Ira Webb Bisbee, his mother, Betty Bisbee, and a brother, Teddy Tex Bisbee. He is survived by his beloved wife, Linda Joyce Bisbee, son, Corey Bisbee, and wife, Melissa of Midland, sister, Sissy Garvin, and husband, Chuck of Midland, 6 grandchildren, 1 great-granddaughter, many nieces, nephews, and cousins, along with his beloved church family. Pastor Randall McDonald and Chaplain Vila Edwards will be officiating a 2-part memorial service on September 19, 2020. The celebration will begin at 10 a.m. with a ceremony at his beloved church, Level Path Ministries, 3401 Farm to Market, 1213 Midland, Texas, with the Sons of Confederate Veterans. The final part of the memorial will be held at Calvary Assembly of God, 908 South Johnson Street, Midland, Texas, at 1 p.m. Everyone is welcome at both services. There will be a live stream available for those interested but unable to attend. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Crematory Funeral Home, Crematory. Luann P. Rogers. Luann P. Rogers, 81, of Midland, passed away September 15, 2020. Memorial service will be held at 1:30 p.m. Saturday, September 26, 2020, at First Presbyterian Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Willie Sadler. Willie Sadler, 64, of Midland, passed away September 14, 2020. The family will receive guests from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, September 19, 2020, at Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral service will follow at 4 p.m. Saturday, September 19, 2020, at Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel.
Hello. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, September 17th, 2020, front page. GOP candidates stump at Marriott by Michael Merlo, M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. Republican candidates vying for city office made their pitch to members of the Ector County Republican Women's Club on Wednesday. Around 200 people gathered at noon Wednesday in the Marriott Hotel and Convention Center to attend the ECRW Club luncheon for a mayoral and city council candidate forum of those vying for seats in November's election. 8 of the 15 city council candidates were in attendance, and ECRW President Sherry Hurt said that because of club bylaws, only Republican City Council candidates were invited to the forum. Those in attendance running for the District 1 seat included Mark Mata and Tiki Frank Davis. Rachel Miner and Steve Thompson showed for the District 2 seat. Denise Swanner and current Mayor David Turner made appearances for the at-large seat, and those running for mayor who were at the forum included Javier Hoven, Gloria Apolinario, and Becky Latham, who spoke for her father, current District 2 Councilman Dewey Bryant. Latham said Bryant could not attend because he was at home recovering from a medical procedure. Candidates were invited at 10:30 a.m. to set up their tables with campaign signs and cards in the Permian Ballroom at the Marriott. Candidates later gathered on the stage for opening statements and to answer 3 pre-written ECRW member questions and also give closing words. Latham gave opening and closing statements for Bryant, but declined to answer questions on his behalf. Council candidates answered 3 questions, including how they see, quote, defunding the police impacts Odessa, and what measures they would take to ensure first responders have support. All candidates referenced their support for local law enforcement and spoke about how they felt the police department is vital to the function of the local community. Quote, there is just no way we can have an effective city by defunding the police, Mata said, adding that he was vehemently opposed to such action. Davis had similar sentiments. Quote, police presence is vital in every community, so I back the blue as well because without law enforcement, we have nobody to police us because it's not like 30 years ago when the community used to police itself, Davis said. Candidates were also asked if they would consider issuing debt without voter approval like council did with a $93 million debt issuance in 2019. Council members approved the issuance without voter approval in a 5-1 vote. Both Bryant and Turner approved of the issuance. While Mata, Apolinario, and Hoven said that they would not consider issuing debt without voter approval, some candidates had other opinions. Thompson said that nobody likes increases in taxes. Quote, however, there are situations that present themselves to cities and other forms of government where you get behind the curve sometimes. Our city continues to grow and has grown so hard and so fast that we have not been able to keep up with our infrastructure. Sometimes you have to do certificates of obligation. It's not something you want to do. Occasionally, you have to do that. Miner said that she would take a practical approach to raising taxes. Quote, most of us business owners and families have a budget, and so we should live within our means. There are times when that debt issuance is needed, but I think it is used more widely than it should, she said, adding that she believed in government accountability. Quote, most of the time, if you tell someone why things are happening and you show them proof and communicate effectively, I think that the citizens have the right to know where their money's being spent, and I am not for raising taxes. Turner said that he voted yes for the debt issuance because, quote, we had to have fire stations. Right now, with our partnership with Ector County, We run out of ambulances on a weekly basis. That means you call an ambulance, you may not have one. Another thing that we've put toward was infrastructure. He said, adding that in the past, the city has not paid for infrastructure, and now certain water and sewer lines are at capacity. Candidates also answered if it is easier to raise taxes or make budget cuts to make up budget deficits. Swanner said that, quote, the lazy way would probably be to increase taxes, but I like to look at budgets, so I think the budget can always be looked at, and you can cut somewhere if needed to be, she said. Apollinario said that the last resort would be to increase taxes. Quote, there are a lot of people out there that are hardly making it, and if we are increasing our taxes, where are we going to be? Why is Odessa so different? Why are we in all these problems? I think it's because our government is not working right, she said. Hovind spoke on how he'd look at budget cuts and said that he wouldn't cut police or fire departments. He said that while Odessa has expanded to many areas, including entertainment, recreation, and real estate, quote, we have got to get back to what we're supposed to be doing, and that is fire protection, public safety, and water quality, he said. The Black Chamber of Commerce of the Permian Basin will be holding a nonpartisan city council forum at 6:30 p.m. Thursday at the Floyd Gwynn Park Gymnasium, located at 1015 North County Road West. BCCPB Executive Assistant Wanda Clayton said that masks and social distancing will be required, and if the forum becomes too crowded, some people may not be allowed in. Runoffs. City council and mayor candidates need 50% plus one of the vote to win their election, and City Secretary Norma Grimaldo said that a runoff date has not been scheduled. Who is running? Mayor Dewey Bryant, Javier Hovind, and Gloria Apollinario. District 1, Eddie Mitchell, Michael Shelton, Mark Mata, and Tiki Davis. District 2, Stephen Thompson and Rachel Miner. At large, Denise Swanner, David Turner, Joanne Davenport Littleton, and Latasha Gentry. Election 2020. Early voting is October 13th to October 30th. Visit http://www.co.ector.tx.us/page/ector.elections for more information. Election day is November 3rd. Trustees give Super a raise, longer contract. OA News at OAOA.com. Along with approving an ordinance setting a tax rate for 2020-2021, the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees modified Superintendent Scott Murray's contract, extending it by a year to June 30th, 2025, and giving him a 2% base salary increase, bringing it from $295,000 to $300,900. The 2% is the same percentage provided to classroom teachers, Trustee Donna Smith said, following the closed session Tuesday night. Retirement contributions will be increased from 60 to 80%. Board member Tammy Hawkins said, "We're glad to have you." Board President Delma Abalos said she thinks the community is lucky to have Murray, and he has embraced the community. Trustees approved an ordinance setting a tax rate for 2020-2021 during their meeting Tuesday night that will mean more in taxes for most homeowners due to higher appraisals. The total tax rate is $1.17792 per $100 valuation, which is the same as it was for 2019-2020. As of July 23rd, Ector County's total market value was $18,853,884,923, and the net taxable value was $14,780,081,912. According to a presentation from Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmers, the gross revenue per penny of tax revenue is $1,507,040, she said. Otmers said property values saw a 5% property value decrease from April 30th estimated values and down 2% in property value from the prior year, certified July 25th, 2019 values. In the end, Otmers said, looking a year ago from the certified property values to now, the actual decrease in property values is about 2%. When values go down, she said, state funding goes up. Most property owners' taxes will go up because of an increase in appraised values. Enrollment has not reached the 34,000 level expected this year. It's down about 2,000 students, Murray said. Otmers said the district is still looking for those students. We're going to see some changes in the budget coming up if we can't locate those students. This is an issue across the state. The kids picked up and moved away, or they're just homeschooling or learning online. TEA does have a couple of schools online. We don't know where a lot of them are, Otmers said. Trustees voted 7-0 to prepay $5,235,000 of its existing bonds, Series 2013, that are due in 2038. By making this early payment, the district will save Ector County taxpayers more than $3.2 million in future interest payments. The board also voted 7-0 to refinance certain bonds due between 2026 and 2036. This refinancing will save Ector County taxpayers approximately $13.6 million. Those items tonight save taxpayers a lot of money, Murray said. It's just the smart thing to do, regardless. That's great news for our community. In addition to that, it provides more bond capacity. Even without that, it's just smart. David DeRay, a member of the Tax Ratification Election Committee, formed for oversight on how the funds were spent and transparency to the public, said everything on the list has almost been completed. DeRay said the TRE raised $18 million. It included a total of $9.8 million in salary increases for teachers and others. The first increase was on the December 31st paycheck. DeRay said it was in the 2019-2020 budget and in the 2020-2021 budget. The TRE also included controlled access entrances and fencing for open wings of elementary schools, new buses, and roofing projects to repair hail damage. Meeting recap, tinyurl.com/y5uhefe9. ECISD homepage, ectorcountyisd.org.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.